Welcome to Red Inca. I'm Jared Kimber.
This episode of Red Inca is about the mystery of Indian spinner Varun Chakravarti. And to talk about that, we get on a journalist who wrote a great piece on him.
Hi, Jared. This is Venkat Krishna from the Indian Express. I work with them as a senior assistant editor. I'm based out of Chennai, which is the home to the Chennai Super Kings, if may add.
We talk about carambols, off-spin, Chennai red soil, red tennis balls, architecture, sun on the Rhine, and overspin. I want you to start by telling me a story about a delivery that Varun Chakravarti bowled to David Miller.
Look, it just looks like a very just a normal delivery from an off-spinner sort of a thing. But let me tell you, it was like in the last few months, Varun has been putting a lot more effort into it. He has been working on the delivery because he has figured in the recent times that especially in the IPL where the pitches have been getting really, really like flatter. And especially at Eden Gardens, where the pitches have been like extremely batting friendly, he just thought, okay, like little bit of deviation is enough to even have the best of the batsmen in trouble. And that's how he was like kept working on it, and that's how he came about this delivery. Okay, there's absolutely nothing rocket science about it. It's just a simple delivery, but what he has done off late is like he has just slightly changed his own characteristics. So where nowadays he relies a lot on overspin. So it just like with just like a minimum effort, he wants to put a lot of effort into it. So it's all about coming everything like falling right from this run up, the load up, and everything, the force, everything just falling in the place and aligned perfectly. And that's how the delivery happened. You could see it in David Miller's reaction, isn't it? He was like completely like stunned. Okay, he thought that he had the line covered, but no, it's just like one of, it seemed like a mystery, but in reality, there is no mystery. It was just like a normal delivery, which had everything in sync, actually, to be honest.
It's really interesting. And like one of the reasons that I wanted to talk to you is that Varun Chakravarti's had a very different path, right? He probably doesn't exist without the IPL because of, it would be very hard in the amateur era to have sort of come through the way he did. This was a man who was, before he was working out how to design the perfect cricket deliveries, was actually had a degree in architecture, right? Like he was on a completely different path than that of a normal professional cricketer.
Look, let me tell you, this like in parts of Chennai, Tamil Nadu, it's completely normal for a cricketer to be an engineer, because you saw in the previous generation as well with people, players like Anil Kumble, Jagal Srinath, who are from Bangalore. But even in Chennai, a lot of cricketers take their study seriously. Education is foremost over here. So, which is why it was not surprising that, okay, he wanted to pursue a degree in architecture. But what stands out is like how he pursued the dream to like continue doing architecture and keep the dream alive. He studied in a college which is like sits very far from the city, so he could have easily spent somewhere between easily 3 to 4 hours on a day traveling just from his house to the college. So he did all of it and still found the time to to play even tennis or cricket. Is not easy because here education like it is like a lot more challenging, in the sense like you'll not just have classes for all 5 days. That could be Saturdays as well. You have to end up in the college, wake up early, pack your bags, and it's like not kind of very easy at all, to be honest. So, but despite that, he played cricket. He kept the fire alive in him. So it's just like it's a reward for like shaping his own dreams. He was like, even in architecture when he was doing. The thing that stood out about him was like when he did this present his master thesis. He did a thing about constructing a stadium and how it should be like modern equipped in terms of rain and facilities, car parking, all of it. So cricket was never out of his mind, I believe. So it was just about like certain things coming together. But for some of them, it comes early. For some, you have to like wait a lot more and work a lot harder. Mm. So I think that's where it sort of worked for Varun Chakravarti.
But even his cricket is late developing. Even if you take away the university education and the wanting to be an architect, everything is late developing when you really think about it, because he's not a spinner when he's young either, right? Wasn't he bowling medium pace with a tennis ball for a long period of time? Like, everything about his cricket took a little longer to come together.
Absolutely. It's like fascinating, isn't it? He first started off to be a wicketkeeper. Then he moved to the fast bowler in tennis ball cricket. Tennis ball cricket, it's a lot different to what he sees in Pakistan, that side of a thing. Here it's a little more different. Here it is like you bowl with a very lot more heavy cricket ball as well, which is in red in color, and it tends to it is not kind of an enjoyable place to bowl at all. You can get smacked because of the bounce and everything. So ultimately, an injury happens, and then he's like, okay, let me try. Because at this point in time, he's just looking for play opportunities, right? So what am I trying to do? Okay, let me play tennis ball cricket. I need to reduce my workload on my back. So what do? I let me bowl something different that will be hard for batsmen to score off. So what is it? This is where the Sudoku ball starts up, right? The Sudoku ball is something that Ashwin calls it carom ball. That is something that you will see in every gully in Chennai. Mm. Like, a lot of guys try to, it's a different version of the knuckleball, but it's very, very effective when you do it with a tennis ball. It's like, thanks to its, a bounce factor, it can, sometimes it can just bounce or it can just, skid on. So, that's where it happens, so, right? And once the thing happens, this entire transformation as a mystery spinner happens, its life just took different turns. Every now and then, he met the right people at the right time, and then he got the right opportunities at the right time. From there, it's just all about, as they say in cricket, it's all about timing. It's just perfect in the timing, I would say. Mm.
When does he come across his mentor, A.C. Pratapan?
Okay, A.C. Pratapan came a little later in his life, but before that, there is this one big changing point in his life was when he just started bowling mystery spin. He met Mr. Malalun Rangarajan, who's part of the Royal Challengers Bangalore setup right now. So he spotted him. He was wondering. They both were in a camp, spin bowling camp, 10 years back, right? So suddenly he meets him, and then he's like, hey, what are you doing here? He's like, yeah, now I'm back to bowling mystery spin, some sort of a spin. So Malalun faces in the nets, is difficult to score off. Then he's like, why don't you play league cricket and improve your skill? So again, a new twist. So he goes and plays fourth division here in Chennai. The first division circuit is pretty, pretty strong. It is one of the most coveted thing in Indian cricket. Even now, Cheteshwar Pujara came and plays here. And Rahul Dravid has played. And a lot of those guys, regular, everybody plays over here. So he chooses to play a fourth division team, which is very low in the rank, so that it's a place where he can test, improve his skills, right? You can't go to first division and bowl. He'll be definitely would get smashed. So what he does, he just chooses to play in fourth division. This is nondescript venues all over the city where you have absolutely no proper facilities. He's prepared to do that. He does that, and then the scouts are by them, the TNPL Tamil Nadu Premier League has launched, and then there are scouts looking for bowlers with some sort of X factor. And again, they find Varun. They're like, okay, let's try him. He goes to the TNPL, he tries there, and then he gets to join the Madurai Panthers team. That would be the place where, okay, he will meet Mr. Pratapan as well. And then they would they will work a lot. And then from there on, he has not looked back at all, to be honest.
He's really weird because if you compare him to the other kind of mystery spinners, the sort of Mujeeb and Tikshana, so they both do the same thing that he does. They skid the ball in and they bowl the carom ball, right? So they can spin it both ways. They bowl off spin, they bowl the carom ball, and they can skid the ball on. But his big difference really is overspin. So most of those guys are not really, they're not beating you in the flight, and they're not really beating you with extra bounce. Mujeeb gets extra bounce because he's taller, but he's not beating you with overspin bounce. Whereas Varun Chakravarti has this ability where it doesn't even feel sometimes like he ever spins the ball off the straight all that much, but he's beating players sometimes with the ball off the straight, but sometimes he's beating them with flight, and you see them come down the wicket and they're beaten in flight in a way that doesn't happen with other bowlers of that kind of, I don't know what we would call them, but the sort of carom ball dominant bowlers.
I think it some of it comes down to how he has matured with age. Earlier, he was like, see, when he came off, he said he has as many as 7 variations. Off spinner, leg spinner, googly, flipper, a faster one, whatnot. So you could say like 7 variations. But down the line, he also realized that the more the variations he bowled, he was like not getting it right at some point in his career. There was a season where he was like, he didn't get wickets at all. That is immediately after the 2021 T20 World Cup where he played for India. He was dropped soon after the early exit. And then with KKR, he didn't have a good season in the IPL at all. He was like not getting wickets and he wasn't having the sort of impact he used to earlier. So that's when he went to the drawing board. Until then, he was like relying more on side spin. But thereafter, he thought, okay, like the wickets, the pitches, I mean, getting like a lot more flatter. And batsmen like believing, okay, they're like, now they're finding ways to take him down. So he thought like, okay, let me reinvent myself. So what he does is like, he goes to Pratibhan, they work. Okay, what can we do? Can we do something? Because this overspin is something that has like become sort of a go-to option for spinner. They're like, okay, let's try overspin. Because with his height, he was always going to get extra bounce. And then even with the overspin, even the slight variation is going to make trouble because batsmen, they realize that they watch ample videos and they see that batsmen, even if there is even a slight variation, batsmen are struggling. They don't play variations at all. They struggle to face variations, even deviations. Slight deviation, they are like, okay, man, this is like different. They want the ball to come. So that's what in T20 batsmen do. They want everything to be fed in their areas. So, and then even with his bounce, what happens is when a batsman is trying to hit, he targets the top half of the bat, not the bottom half. So that means like even if a batsman goes through a big shot, it ball invariably ends up skying. It doesn't necessarily get the distance, but he'll get the elevation. That's all he gets. So these are the things that he worked with Pratibhan a lot. Even in the TNPL, he used it to great effect. So playing these tournaments, I mean, Varun had this thing, okay, like, let me get the confidence. He got this confidence. Mystery spinners are all about confidence. Once they have the confidence, they'll be like, okay, let me have this. That's how he went about it. And this overspin, especially since the last season, he has been like putting it to great use that nowadays he doesn't even use this mystery spin, whatever it is. He doesn't use the Sudoku ball or whatever because he feels it's like batsmen find it easy to score off. So, overspin, yes, let that be the stock delivery now.
And that is why Nasser Hussain decided to bowl first at the go. And this all, of course, reminds me of Hit Wicket, which is a mobile cricket strategy game that is all about making those tough decisions. Who do you want to send in as an opener when the asking rate is climbing? Do you go for the big hitter or the steady accumulator? Me, I like to throw in someone a little bit unorthodox, a bit of a wild card like the general. That keeps the opposition guessing. And what about the bowling attack? Do you unleash your express pace early or hold back for the death overs? I'm always tempted to bring on a mystery spinner in the middle overs and just try and break a partnership. Hit Wicket puts you in the captain's chair. You draft the squad and select the batting order and even decide when to use those game-changing abilities. Do you burn your 2x ability to chase down a big total or save it for a critical moment later on? It's strategic, it's addictive, and it's more nerve-wracking than facing a Shoaib Akhtar bouncer. Give it a go. Download Hit Wicket and see if you've got the tactical nous to win. It's really fascinating because the straighter he's bowled, probably the more people will attack him because they're worried for the ball spinning in either direction. And so they're actually attacking the balls that he wants them to attack. And I remember talking to Gareth Batty one day and he was talking about when he would bowl to people like just fans in the nets, right? Like if someone someone came in and said, I'm going to want to face, you know, a test off spinner. And he said when he bowled side spin, they would hit him everywhere. And he would just start bowling top spin and everyone started hitting him straight up in the air. And the people behind the nets are like, why are they hitting him straight up in the air? He's just bowling straight. And so bowlers have always known this. It's not as if it's a new thing, but we got so obsessed, especially in limited overs cricket and T20 cricket over the last couple of years of spinning the ball in both directions, that has gone. I wondered if, and I don't think it was in your piece as much, but I just wondered if Because we saw Sunil Narine completely reinvent his bowling, partly because of he got called for throwing, but also he went from being an off spinner to essentially being a knuckleball bowler. How much is the fact that both of you've got two guys there obviously see the game so differently to get to other people? How much do you think they sort of rubbing off on each other and being allowing for them to be outliers and to be different in a way that perhaps if, you know, he had a conventional off spinner at the other end, he'd be like, no, 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 just bowl normal, mate. You don't need to bowl all this stuff. Do you think Sunil Narine plays a part in all this?
Okay, let me tell you about Varun. Varun, he's sort of he's a sort of a cricketer who likes to keep it to himself. He's not those sort of a cricketer who goes and like picks on others' brains that often. With Sunil, again, it's like a very interesting combination that Sunil Narine, you know the bowler he is. He's very, very, he's got like terrific numbers across the globe. And there was a point in time when Varun came on, teams were like prepared to play out Sunil Narine and they had to take a chance with Varun. That's like a different, slightly deadly combo, if you call it. Because on one end, Narine is like building the pressure and other end, Varun, again, a similar bowler who you cannot like take down easily. You have to take risks. So it's a very deadly combination if you ask me. And not many T20 teams around the world have two mystery spinners in their ranks who are like as effective as they two are. So in that sense, they complement each other. If Varun builds the pressure, Narine gets the wickets. If it works both ways. But as far as like getting learn from each other, I think Varun is like a lot more like he's a very introvert sort of a person where he likes to keep out of himself. He doesn't have much he doesn't like talking cricket. He gets, being an engineer, he thinks that he has answers, so he believes he can like find the solution to his own thing. That's what Varun is, self-made he is. And if there is anything, he'll go back to Pratibha and he'll ask, okay, can I do this, is this sort of a thing is working for me, is my run up is correct, if I'm putting enough refs on the ball. All of it is like he self-analyzes a lot and then he asks Pratibhan to have a check over it. Like, okay, then they will record a video, then he will go. And that's how he does, actually. He's a very, he likes to be in his own bubble. He's that sort of a cricketer. So, yeah, but of course, there are talks between the two. They share a lot. But yeah, as far as to my knowledge, he is like very reserved in the sense, like, yeah, he is not somebody who's going to like go up and talk like, okay, listen, can I share this? Can we share tricks sort of a thing? He hasn't opened up about it so far, actually, to be honest.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but Sunil Narine's very much like that as well. Sunil Narine's an incredibly private person. Like, think about how many times you've ever heard Sunil Narine speak publicly about anything. Like, he just doesn't speak. So it's interesting that they're both introverts and that they both do it. I mean, they're in the nets together. We can only assume there's an element there. But you know what I mean? It's like, you know, when those perfect bands come together and you've got like, you know, you've got two different musicians who see music really differently and they come together at the same time. It allows the other person to be as wild and as experimental because you've got someone else doing it, right? Like imagine Chakravarti was having success, then he stops having success. It's very easy for him to go back to the things he does normally. But when he's seen Sunil Narine completely change his bowling two or three times now, he probably thinks to himself, well, maybe I can do the same thing. I just find it really fascinating. The other thing I found really fascinating was that the way that they spoke about the bowling, that Pratapan spoke about his bowling, he used to be an off spinner and now he's more like a leg spinner. And one of the things that leg spin has, and specifically the wrong end has, is the overspin, right? So it makes more sense to be able to go towards that. But there's also, there's a natural blurring now. In the old days, people were like, I'm an off spinner or I'm a leg spinner. Whereas now we're seeing players try multiple things within the same game. Chakravarti is kind of at the forefront of these new bowlers who are a little bit of a finger spinner, a little bit of a mystery spinner, and a little bit of a wrist spinner.
Yeah, I think you can call it that way because I think it's in a T20, you need to have these things, right? You need to be as adaptable and as varied as possible. I think that's where, like, talking to Pratibha, that's what I got, actually, to be honest. Because they don't want to be predictable in nature. And like you said, like, with switch hits, a lot of it, reverse sweeps, everything coming in, you tend to, like, gain some sort of an advantage over the batsman. That's what Varun is looking at every single time. So that's where the decision to move from side spin to overspin played a big role, because he believes that with overspin, he'd be able to impart more revs on the ball, and then through that, he'd be able to spin as well a lot more than the side spin. In side spin, if the pitch is not helping you with turn, then it can get really difficult. But with overspin, it's not the case. You can like spin it on any surface. You will find good purchase as well, especially when you play in Eden Gardens, where it is sort of like it used to be a venue where that assist spinners, but it has become the last couple of seasons because of how KKR play, it has become extremely flatter, right? And then also other reason is Varun plays a lot of his cricket in Chennai. In Chennai, you get like only one sort of wicket, which spins, be it in the local 3-day games or in 50-over, 20-over games. The pitch tends to spin a lot over here because you tend to play a lot of cricket on dead soil. So when you're used to that sort of a nature, your skill set keeps improving. So when you go to the certain things, the whatever the spinner has, the qualities, be it the flight, the loop, the dip, whatever you call it, he has all of it in place, the drift, whatever it, he has it, all everything in place. So even in the most challenging, faced with the most challenging of conditions, he just need to follow the basics. He just keeps it so simple. You talk to him, you find like, okay, that you'll find like a lot of engineering thing in him. He'll be like mentioning, yeah, I just kept it simple. There is nothing strange, bigger thing I did. He'll just keep it simple. There won't be any elaborative answers to whether he took a 5-wicket haul, whether he took a 2-wicket. There won't be any elaborate answers. He'll just say, I just follow the basics. I just follow the process. So these are cliche events for us to hear in a press conference, but with him, he's actually doing it. There is absolutely nothing he's doing out of the box, if I may add.
I mean, the interesting thing, though, is that you've got him, you've got Ashwin, you've got Sunil Narine, you know, Rashid Khan. We're seeing people like Teek Chandra and everyone else come through. They actually aren't keeping it simple, right? They are reinventing spin bowling as we know it. You know, you watch, you know, Chahar come through on that weird angle when he bowls sometimes, right? And, you know, we've seen Ashwin do that in test matches, things like that. It feels like spinners now, and I think it is the advent of all the close-up cameras and the ability to be able to look at so many different shots and everything and everything else. And, you know, within training to be able to film a weird experimental delivery and then work out why it did the thing that it did. It feels now that spin bowling is less about the sort of the days of Monty Panesar having big hands and, you know, having tall, strong finger spinners or anything. It's really now more about experimentation, right? And, you know, how you bowl the, you know, a UFO ball, as the spinners like to call it, the one that sort of that drifts weirdly on the wind. You know, how the mixing up of the seam works, how you can do all these things. Like, there really is, this is really the most exciting time I think we've ever seen experimentation in spin bowling. And because of that, Varun Chakravarti is kind of the perfect person, right? Like, he wants to keep it simple, fine, but, you know, in the back of his head, he is mapping it out with his architecture brain, right? He's using CAD to draw the next delivery that he's going to bowl. And the fact that he is aiming for the top of the bat, that's something that fast bowlers do, right? So they're even taking tricks from other forms of cricket. It's really fascinating. A few years ago, I realized that trying to find the best stories in cricket was impossible for any fan. I even tried to get funding to make my own cricket Huffington Post. It never quite worked. But luckily, we finally have someone filling this massive void in our game, Best of Cricket. They scour the publications everywhere to find, quite simply, all the best news and the greatest stories on our sport. Then they make it just as easy. They either email it or WhatsApp it direct to you. Cricket's greatest tales delivered to your device. This is truly the best of cricket.
John, I don't know, like, I mean, somebody should do a survey or whatever, right? Who watches more videos? Is it the batsmen who watch more videos or the fast bowlers or the spinners? I think the spinners will definitely win that survey, because I feel like a lot of spinners like end up watching loads and loads of visuals. I have seen Ashwin talk about it, Nathalie talk about it, and Varun, you won't believe, he spends a lot of time watching the videos, not just of his own bowling, but of batsmen who is going to face, be it domestic cricket or in the IPL, and international cricket, needless to say. He watches a lot of videos. And recently, another coach of them, coach of Varun shared this interesting anecdote, actually. So a couple of months back, Varun Chakravarthy played in this Tamil Nadu Premier League called TNPL alongside R. Ashwin. They both play for the same team called the Dickel Dragons. So this bowling coach, he was explaining how these two work. Like, both are like extensive, again, both are engineers. Both have like tremendous knowledge of spin bowling and super practitioners and studious cricketers. So he'll be like, he'll call for a bowlers meeting. So these two will come and they will say like, hey, you do this for this batsman, he's going to play the reverse sweep first up. So I'll do this. This guy, he will try to hit me over mid-wicket. So I'll bowl this sort of a delivery. So they'll just like say this, and it's for the bowling coach said, it's like two engineering graduates are revising the portions ahead of an exam. And they're like, okay, everything's in their memory. They'll be like, okay, fine. Let me just go and execute it. So the next day they go, they just execute it as they discussed. There is no going for a plan B, plan C. He didn't come across at all. They won the title this time. They didn't see that thing at all where these two had to like look for a different plan. They were like caught off guard. Oh, wait, this batsman is not doing something which I'm not aware of. No, they had every plan, everything in place. So they were like, just went there, they just executed it, and they were like back home, sitting like, okay, we have done it. Next year, let's do something else. So that's how they do it. So with Varun, again, I think it's the scale, a lot of spinners around the world as well. They come prepared because, see, the spinners, you see, off spinners, especially in T20 cricket, are not wanted in the by many teams. They feel like it's easy matchup. So even Ashwin, you see in IPL, he bowls a lot of current deliveries to right-hander batsmen. Only to the left-handers, he goes back to bowling his off-spins. So that's how it is, right? Like, so you need to like get as much edge as over the batsmen. So that's where like the videos and the visuals. I mean, Ashwin in the past, as like when he plays a test match, he has gone to the extent of asking his analyst friends, like, if I'm playing in a test match in Southampton, tell me how much degree of turn does the pitch take in Southampton on day one? How much on day two? How much on day three? Day four? Day five? And these sort of things, it's like, you don't hear the fast bowlers ask these many things. Fast bowlers, they are like, let me get back to the mark, let me go smash the stumps or go for the throw. That's the thing, right? With them, it's like a lot more, like even Jadeja for that matter. Jadeja, during the World Cup last year, he didn't want to give away what he was trying to do. What he did in the opening game against Australia, where he got Steve Smith. He was altering the pace wonderfully. He got three wickets. So somebody asked him, the person, what were you doing? He was like, no, I just did the basic. Could you elaborate? He was like, no, I'll be responding to you in Hindi, but he will translate it in English and Steve Smith will get to know about it. I don't want to give away anything. So here goes that thing, right? Here's how they work a lot. They seem to get a lot of as much knowledge about the batsman as possible. So it gives them the advantage, I believe. That's the only way they can like ensure there is a good balance between bat and ball in the field, because it's we all know how T20 is just like, it's all about batsmen. People come to just see sixes, but spinners doing well in T20s, it's always gives a nice feeling coming from the subcontinent.
I just want to finish up. So you mentioned a song at the end of your piece. I haven't heard the song before and I'm not sure. So I'm not sure exactly what it means. But it was interesting to me because I always thought of Bisham Bedi as a sort of Indian spinner who came in like on a bed of clouds when he bowled. And there's almost something quite musical and rhythmic about him. Venkatapati Raju was another bowler like that. Varun Chakravarthy is a very mechanical thinker in his bowling, but he actually has this kind of more of an old school vibe to his bowling. So I wondered why you finished with the piece about the song.
Okay. There's nothing in particular, actually. So in Chennai, I mean, everybody is a movie buff over here. And Varun himself wanted to be a filmmaker. He did make a few short films. And there is a music and cricket are like interlinked a lot in Chennai, you see. So, and this song in particular is like one of the all-time Tamil classics to come out, composed by this legend called Mr. Ilayaraja. So, and it just means like, yeah, it feels like a Ilayaraja band means it's usually your life is good. You're in a good mood, you're in a good vibe. It's that sort of a thing. So, Varun, I feel like he is in that sort of a thing because last few months after the IPL, when he was not selected for the Indian team, he was in a little, he had some doubts coming in and stuff like that. He was not in a, he had some, he even said like, okay, that I don't do PRs and stuff like that. Those sort of a things, unfortunately, tend to come up every now and then in Indian cricket. So he was also in that phase, but to earn that callback and then to do well. And he was in that phase where like you're listening to your Ilaiyaraaja song. When you're listening to Ilaiyaraaja song, you forget what's happening around the world, your struggles, everything. And it's usually it's like a very euphoric feel or whatever it is. So that is why I thought, okay, it's like he's from that generation as well. Like mentioned about Bedi, whose thing is like music, right? Ilaiyaraaja is somebody who was dear to, he started off his music in the 70s and ruled the charts in the 80s. And even now he's like quite a big man. But in the 70s and 80s, he was literally untouchable. So that's where he was like going back to that era as well. The old, slightly old school thing, he still has it in him, right? The spinner, whatever said and done, spin is like a little old school. So that's for the little connection. But yeah, it felt like really poetic for him to use that reference, Ilaiyaraaja, even now. Because his favorite hero, he prefers all action stuff, right? He's a Varun Chakravarti, a huge fan of this actor called Vijay. He likes to meet him. He met him. He got an autograph from him. He took a photograph with him. He's known as a very action hero sort of a thing, not the one who does this pleasant role. But with Ilaiyaraaja, it's totally opposite. He is known to be somebody who, like, you look at him, he looks, you will find him in white kurta and white pyjamas. And there is a godly feel about Ilaiyaraaja. So, yeah. And Varun himself is like a very, such a, he's also not into music and he comes across as a bit more spiritual. So, in that sense, yeah, it fit perfectly, actually.
Thank you very much for coming on the podcast. Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.